right. Okay, now we are being recorded. Okay, well, we've called this together for informational on the meats issue. I'm going to turn this thing to Mike. Mike's got some general thoughts to throw out to everybody, and then I think we'll proceed from there.
Thank you, John. I think for today, one of the things that, we have to do is obviously the board has received a number of pieces of paper in the last few weeks. So we have appeal processes before the board, two appeals that are before the board, one for Project Meats and the other with Pioneer Meats that will need a board decision, as well as a letter from the Montana Meat Processors Association, you know, basically requesting action and connection with the board and with the department about the meat inspection program. So I think, you know, the thoughts I would give is that at least direction for those of us here in Helena today is to understand the process that the board would wish to use in the appeals, formulating questions, information that you need from us that, you know, are based on what you read in the appeal letters, and then also, you know, sort of laying out the timelines under which folks can expect action from the department. I think that's what the public would really want to know today is what is the time frame for which the board would go through executing on these different requests. And as I said, I'll maybe turn over with me is Rob Stutz, who is obviously your counsel in the manor, and I'm sure he may have some thoughts on process if you're ready to go there, Chairman. But I would say that the only thing that I would have to say today is we have multiple issues that have been put before the board and staff, and we would like direction on, you know, how we're going to deal with those separate issues, the processes that we're going to use, and the timelines of which we expect to take action, if that makes sense.
Board, you got that?
Yes, I think that's what we have to do is establish the process to handle the three issues in front of us.
Anybody else? Rob?
Yes, sir. That's, yes.
So we're kind of looking for direction, sir.
All right. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I had Mike just before the meeting, right, in fact, at the start of the meeting, mail out to board members a document prepared by FSIS. It's called the Compliance Guideline for Small and Very Small Plants Appealing Inspection Decisions. This is a guidance document that FSIS uses to implement their appeal process, and it's designed to be accessible and explain the appeal process in easy-to-use terms, both for people participating in the process, but especially for small and very small plants that are accessing the appeal process. I'll note that the department has adopted the FSIS appeal process as part of its own rules. The specific legal authority by which the board did that is ARM 326712. Those were updated fairly recently. Last year, Gary went through and did an update of the board's proposed that the board update its adoption of various federal rules, including the rules that govern the appeals process, and that was finalized last August. Finalized last October. It was proposed in August. So the process that the board needs to apply is the process and FSIS rules. I'm available to answer any questions you may have, but just to hit a few main points about the appeal process. Number one, this is an appeal that has moved up. Mike issued a decision back in early June about the issues that are now before the board, and FSIS applies a very strict chain of command appeal process. There are reasons for that, but one of the most important reasons to work up the chain of command is that it allows the individuals most familiar with the facts of the situation to address the issue first, and that ensures that a quicker turnaround and the opportunity for the decision by the inspection personnel most familiar with it to hopefully resolve it at a lower level. And then as it moves up the chain of command, of course, the individuals reviewing those earlier decisions are less familiar with the facts. So a consequence of that is that the initial decisions made on site at the plant or at the lowest levels of an appeal typically happen faster. And then as you move up the appeal process, that length of time typically draws out because it takes longer for the reviewing person or entity to become familiar with the facts. There is no specific time frame in the FSIS rules for the appealing body to issue a decision, although there are some anticipated or typical times for the top level appeal, which is what the board would be. That time would typically under FSIS guidelines be about a month once all the appeal materials are submitted. And so it may happen faster, it may happen slower. There's no specific requirement that it happen within a month, but the general idea being that the farther you go up the ladder, the longer it takes. Long story short, all of this process is outlined in the very detailed compliance guideline that Mike just sent out to you this morning. I was out of the office for another client last week, and I didn't realize until yesterday that there was this meeting this morning. But in any event, that is in your inbox, and I'm happy to answer any questions you or other board members may have, Mr. Chairman.
Board?
Mr. Chairman, this is John Scully. I just looked. I don't have it yet, the document, but I have, having gone through the documentation that we have, I've got two or three comments I'd like to make. One is that from a process standpoint, I believe the project meets and pioneer meets appeals are different and require different documentation. With specifics, I would point out to the rest of the board the allegation of pioneer meets in May 16th, where it discusses whether the compliance guidelines are recommendations or requirements. And I believe when we hold our review, we will need to respond to that question. In addition to that, there is a statement in the May 16th letter included in the original appeal that FSIS compliance guidelines are not regulatory in nature and may contain many parameters that are not applicable. I believe that notion, as set forth in that appeal, should be answered at the time of our review of the appeal. On the August 4th appeal from Pioneer Meats is somewhat different than the original appeal, and in it lies document lies a brief discussion in paragraph one of that appeal that Pioneer Meats is suggesting that the available documentation that sufficiently identified the reason for withholding action specific to Pioneer Meats was not and does not exist, was not available and does not exist. I believe that that needs to be responded to in at the time we have our review. I believe we should separate Pioneer Meats from Project Meats. There is some overlap, but as a matter of process for review by the board, I believe the two are different and they ought to be packaged differently. It seems to me that we have two choices. We either review this matter, and you have to take into consideration, I don't have the document that Mr. Stutz is talking about, but I think we have a possible option of dealing with a hearing-type mode or review the documentation upon which the decisions are made. I, for one, believe that we should review the documentation for the two decisions made by Project Meats and Pioneer Meats and review them separately, because I think documentation, at least for the two instances I have referred to based upon the administrative appeal as noted in their May 16th and August 4th letters, though they are different, I would point out, they still need to be responded to separately from the Project Meats. And so the third issue is I believe we have documents sent to us by the organization at the national level. I have now received it, Mike, the document, at the national level and at the state level, discussing the operational activity of the Bureau. I would like to leave that for a moment, Mr. Chairman, to be considered separately and get back to the two appeals. I believe that we should, and I'm happy to respond to the board's questions, we should, at our next board meeting, scheduled the 30th, review those appeals using the documentation that is required and necessary to have a full aspect of those decisions as they were appealed to Mr. Honeycutt. Those things would require a list of documentation for us to review ahead of time, and I think that we should receive those ahead of time and be prepared to have a discussion on each of the appeals based upon any other consultation that we have from our legal staff and the documents that we received, which would include and is required because of the content of their allegations, the audit documentation and other documents necessary to discuss definitions of withholding and et cetera. There are a list of issues raised, and we should treat the two again separately, review it on documentation without any additional hearing, because I think it all reflects upon the decision made and how the decision made was made. And so that would be the first issue I would raise, though long-winded. I would therefore suggest that there are two processes for us, both based upon review of documentation used and raised in the appeals of both entities, and that we should go through that process, review those documentations with an expected decision and counsel at our next board meeting on the 30th. I note that I'm asking and suggesting the 30th, even though we received the Pioneer Meats appeal on August 4th, I think the documentation will be somewhat duplicative, though a little bit different. and it would not be a burden for us to do it on that time frame.
Board, any input?
I just have a question. This is Lila of John. Then we would, of all the information we have received, would we be, we need it specifically noted so we make sure we're all on the same page. Is that, I mean, that would be my request. That
right.
We
I think
all
would
make
be
sure we have it or get it again or however we're going to get it.
Right. I think that we would have to have a list prepared by Mr. Honeycutt and Mr. Stutz of all the documentation required for each hearing, and that list and those documents attached to information we would receive.
Oh, okay. So we okay, that's fine.
Correct.
So what he's saying
is
we'd be informed ahead of the meeting, Lila, and have this information, and everybody'd have to be carrying the same information.
Yeah, that well, I understood ahead of the meeting, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us that don't have the time right ahead of the meeting to read stuff that comes late, I'd like to make sure we get it enough ahead so I'm not trying to drive and read.
Maybe we could get it on books on tape for you, Lila.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Rob Stutz. Would you like me to so I recognize that there are different appeals by different parties and that there are also comments received about the program unrelated to any particular appeal. Would you like my office to organize those materials into separate appeal files, scan them, and have them sent off to each of the board members? How would you like those organized?
Oh, boy. John,
well,
you got any
Mr.
input?
Chairman, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman, maybe I should make my suggestion a motion.
I think you need to.
And then we can get into that.
Yeah.
So, therefore, I will move that we, at our next board meeting, handle the appeals of Pioneer Meats and Project Meats and receive separate documentation from staff for us to review, and that we review those appeals based upon the documentation that is necessary to have a competent and comprehensive review of the circumstance.
I would second that. This is Lila.
Discussion. All board members are on base with this. Sounds good to me. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Got it. Okay. Let's get into what Rob's question was then.
Then, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we ask our legal counsel to prepare that necessary list and documentation for each case separately and deliver it to us in whatever way is most expeditious and appropriate under the public record.
Is there a second?
Second.
Go ahead.
Discussion? Mr. Stutz, did you understand that?
I did, and I'll be able to separate out all the different types of input the board has received, both specific to each of the appeals as well as more generally, and then it'll be at the board's pleasure how you deal with those other issues outside of the appeal process.
And this will be done in a timely fashion?
This week.
Okay. Board? More discussion.
This is Sue.
Yes.
This is Sue Brown. And we're also going to get a copy of the inspection itself, correct? The federal inspection? Okay.
You mean was the audit?
Was that a positive yes, or has anybody answered yet?
Oh, yeah, no, we can provide that. So just to take a step back, typically what is anticipated under the FSIS appeal process is that the appealing party provide a copy of the entire file at its next level of appeal. So if when they were, for example, to appeal to the board, they would provide the board with the documentation to support that appeal, including the documentation that was used at the lower appeal level, the decisions at the lower appeal level, so on. I'm not sure that has happened in this case because I haven't, frankly, had the opportunity to look at every piece of paper because it's come in and fits and starts with different issues. But nonetheless, I'll go through and make sure that you have both the appeal documents as well as the documents used at the lower levels of appeal, including the federal inspection.
Okay. Is that good with you, Sue? Sue Brown?
Yes, that's great.
That's satisfied. Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All
right.
Aye. Same. Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, I believe there's a third issue that we need to deal with that is combined in all the activities that are here. We received various documentation dealing with what I will call, in my terminology, operational issues and positions taken by various people concerning operational issues. I believe that what the board, we have a whole variety of options we can engage in here. But it seems to me that we should consider between now and the next board meeting how we would like to move forward with that. I'm prepared to talk about it now, but I doubt if everybody else is. And that is the combined information that's in the letters that are not directly associated with an appeal. Those letters seem to me to speak about four or five operational categories. One, knowledge of inspectors. Two, knowledge of supervisors. Knowledge being the knowledge of the rules and the knowledge of the regulation, the knowledge of compliance, and the requirements for that interface. The next is the consistency of that knowledge within the inspectors and their supervisors at the state level. It seems to me that those come under one category, everybody being educated and knowledgeable about the regulatory requirements, compliance, and understanding the impact of that requirement. I know that some of that education has already started, and so I would hope that at the next board meeting we could find out just where we are along that line so that FSIS training, whatever training is required, is adequate, ongoing, and results in competent understanding. The next category to me raised is the manner in which we communicate. The communication between members of the Bureau themselves and their supervisors all the way up to Mike and the board if necessary, because there appears to be some allegations that was inconsistent or inadequate, et cetera, and also the manner in which we communicate, receive information, and download that information from FSIS at the federal level based upon audits or other activity that could take place with regards to that communication. It seems to me we also then in communication need to deal with communicating with the industry, and we should set up a schedule for not only input from the industry, because we have two leadership organizations that can give us input based upon their experiences, but also two-way street that says that after we have had all this education and training, this is the way the inspectors will be conducting themselves so that we have shared mutual expectations of each other. That's not to say that we won't have appeals or problems in the future, but it will be shared. And that's with the industry representatives and it could include either or both of the appellates who could discuss that communication process. In addition to that, it seems to me that the inspectors, as I understand it, are represented by a union, and the union representatives have personnel management obligations as well as ourselves, and we could have, our staff could have discussions with the union representative in addition to that relative to the rights of reinforcement of the rights of our employees to engage state processes already in place during their term of employment or their issues, and any other issues that the union rep would like to engage with us. And I think the last piece of the puzzle is being processed now for me, and that is the processes by which we are going to continue to operate so that we all have a clear understanding of the federal role, the state role, and the obligations of appeal of decisions that could take place. So I put those in operational categories for dealing with communication, knowledge, personnel management would be the big three lumps that I put in there. I'm happy to entertain anything else that anybody wants to put in there at this point. But my thought is that the process that we could go through that activity could be cussed and discussed at our next board meeting, and then we can fill in. I know some of it's already started because I know there's already been training, and I know we're already starting to communicate better, I hope. But we should at least gather everybody and engage back and forth relative to the nuances of the issues raised in the letters, et cetera.
Board?
Mr. Chairman, this is Nina. One question along the lines that John Scully was just talking. Do we at any time during the year I'm going to guess that the processors must have an association where they meet once a year, have a convention or some such thing. Do we ever meet with them and share with them any of the rules, the regulations, updates of what's going on, where we sit down with them, you know, everybody all at the same time so that everybody's all on the same page?
Industry, can you answer that?
Yes. This is Brian Engel, Pioneer Meats. Every year we do, our Montana Meat Processors does have a convention. And every year we invite Dr. Gary Hamel and sometimes Dr. Legg from FSIS to come in our attendance. And yes, sometimes we have been given some pertinent information. Sometimes we see the top of Gary Hamel's hat, and we learn about how many pounds a product was produced in the state. It does not tell us a dang thing about the regulations and the rules and what have you. So, yes, that opportunity has always been presented all the way through Carol Olmstead in the past.
When is your convention?
It's roughly around the 24th of April of this next year.
Okay.
Okay. Answer your question, Nina?
Yep, that helps.
Okay. Anything else, Board, on John's suggestions?
Are we going to have enough time in our meeting, in a one-day meeting? I'm all for doing I want it done. I mean, I want it. This is Lila. But are we going to have enough time in one day to do everything we need to do, or do we need to move it, get another half a day in there or something? Because I'm all for getting this done, and I'm sure everybody else on the phone would like things accomplished, too.
Mr. Honeycutt?
I think we can. Obviously, Mr. Chairman, the board has control of the agenda. We can give as much time to this in the day as we need to. My assumption is coming up for the August 30th meeting, we may have some administrative sort of task, opening of positions. inspections and things of that nature. But we can make this as big a part of the agenda as you want. I can't imagine that there are not, other than just the administrative things of which the staff would need board approval to move forward on, most of our reports could wait a month. I mean, we could suspend some of the division and bureau reports to make sure that we fully focus our attention on this.
Okay.
You agreeable, board?
Yeah.
This is Sue Brown.
Yes, Sue.
I guess we want to encourage everyone who's on this phone line to be at that meeting then on the 30th, and so we can discuss it publicly and get it all out in the open.
Well, my thought, Sue, was that we should put together a process and timelines to do it so that you can, you know, meet with the state group, meet on the federal group, meet with the union. It doesn't all have to happen at once.
Right.
And they can be invited to come in. They can meet with the board. They can meet with the, we could do it with a committee of the board to meet with different factions to get it done. There could be a variety of ways to go about it. But I wasn't suggesting one grandiose hearing. The problem with that is sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle. But I, for example, would take the letter from the state, peel out the issues they're raising in there, in their leadership, and ask them to address it and discuss it, and then look for solutions to deal with it.
Mr. Chairman, this is Rob Seth. I just want to make one thing clear. The board meeting at which they decide, which you decide the decisions in these appeals, I just want to be clear, it's not a hearing. There is no hearing process. Instead, what it is, it's a board review of the documentation to make a decision on the merits of the appeal, but it's not a hearing that's subject to the Montana Administrative Procedures Act contested case process.
No, I'm separating out the appeals from the operational process.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear that the contested case hearing process doesn't apply to the FSIS.
No, I agree.
No. Okay, thank you.
I've separated. I've left that dealing with the appeal already, I think. And I'm just talking about the operational, how to get information from operational activity.
Well, anyway, back to Sue's question. I think, Sue, that we've got to kind of cuss and discuss a little bit. But, you know, it's a public meeting. The meats companies, they're more than welcome to attend. The idea we're going to get it all done in a day would be pleasant, but I'm not sure that's reasonable. But we'll certainly, when we're done with this 30th meeting, we'll have a course of action and be a little better involved with it, I guess is what I want to say, as far as all the operations and the directions. So should be able to handle that as long as we got enough time in the day. That's my, you know, once again, I'll talk to Mr. Honeycutt and we'll go through the agenda and get this thing squared to where we're going to have plenty of time to deal with these issues so that we just can't let this thing sit any longer. So,
Mr. Chairman, this has been,
yes.
I think that's great. I think that as long as the producers are happy with the plan going forward that, you know, to deal with those issues, I think that would be great.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anything else, Board, Mike?
Mr. Chairman, I can't. If I'm taking that as an indication to move on, I would just remind you of dates. Yes, we have August 30th as the board meeting date. August 21st, I know some board members were going to attend the leadership meeting with the accreditation committee that's coming for the AAVOD accreditation at the lab. I guess I should mention in 2 days we have the M-branded cattle public hearing in Billings at 1 o'clock at BLS. And then I'm thinking it's Monday still. Tells you the kind of week I'm having. I would also point out, and probably for the public that are still on too would want to know that, September 14th, is the next Economic Affairs Interim Committee meeting, which is, as you remember, the interim committee that has oversight over this agency function. this topic is on that agenda for September 14th. It was already placed on there, and so the board knows I placed a call to Legislative Services yesterday to give them a heads up that if it's the wish of the Economic Affairs Interim Committee, they may want to expand the time frame and opportunity for public comment around this topic, so that they would be prepared and not overwhelmed if a lot of people showed up to talk about it. So there's another forum, as so you're aware, a legislative hearing forum that will take place on which this particular topic will be on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, my notes indicated that though we originally talked about the 21st
right.
at the lab, it was the 22nd, which
yeah,
is
that's what I thought,
again.
Too.
I have the 22nd as well.
Hey, we're taking a look.
Tuesday is the 22nd.
Okay, Tuesday is the 22nd. As you can tell, I'm a day off. I'm a day behind everybody else in the world right now.
And that's at 1 o'clock, correct?
1 o'clock at the lab in Bozeman. Yes. Sorry about that. Somehow maybe I'm using a calendar from 2015 or something.
Who's going to be in Billings? Lila, you coming up to Billings
yes.
tomorrow? Okay. So I've got two wagons to move, and I got to pull a set of water troughs up and load them and move them. I don't know if I can get it all done today, but if I can, well, then I'll get down there tomorrow. But if I can't get, well, I got to have water for the damn sheep, so.
Going to come as well. This is Nina.
Oh, okay. Nina's going to be there. Okay.
I do have a question for process tomorrow. Is it a hearing where people get up and give their comments and there's no give and take? I mean, it's done by hearing somebody is in charge and we record their comments. Is that the process tomorrow?
The process tomorrow, yes, as a
mm-hmm.
hearing. One, it will be recorded, so all responses will be recorded in their entirety. Tawny Szymanski, as our person in charge of animal health, and since it's the animal health rule, will be presiding over it. As the presiding officer, she has the power to cross-examine, but she's
okay.
the only one that has the power to cross-examine. So largely, it will be people's opportunity to provide their statements as they would if they were in written public comments. And so that's how the process will proceed. There won't be question and answer unless Tawny, as a presiding officer, needs to clarify something in someone's statement or ask them to clarify something in their statement.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Representative Vinton. Are you allowing public comment on the discussion had by the board today?
Yeah.
Well, I believe we are. Board?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, we have public comment.
Mm-hmm.
Would now be the time for that?
Well, I'm fairly sure we're getting right there. Unless the board has anything else, I think we're probably in that position right now.
Would you repeat the date of the Economic Affairs?
September
14th?
September 14th.
Time, do you know?
We are currently scheduled on the agenda at 11 o'clock, but that is subject to change.
Okay. Anything else out there, board? Now we're open to public opinion or comments, pardon me. Not opinions, just comments.
Thank you. This is Representative Vinton. I do have a comment or point of clarification.
Okay.
There was a statement regarding presence at the annual convention held by the producers and that being an opportunity to provide rule changes. Is there not an ongoing process so that producers are notified of any new or updated regulations throughout the year?
Well, there's a process in all the other departments, and I would imagine it'd be the same in the meats, correct?
Yeah, there's absolutely a process
mm-hmm.
For any regulatory rulemaking change
sure.
required by State Administrative Procedures Act, which provides public notice, and that's exactly what the folks are going to Billings for tomorrow, is to receive
mm-hmm.
the input.
We can't surprise anybody with anything. I mean, it's not our
That requires the board having public meetings that approves any changes that people have notice of. In addition, then it goes out for public comment period. And if there's enough opposition or discussion about it, a hearing is held, like what's going to take place tomorrow, and then the board reviews it again in public session. And I may have left out a step or two, but it's in the mist. So absolutely there is for any rule.
Thank you for that clarification.
This is Representative Redfield, and there's also, once a rule has been established, there's a timeline that we established in the 13 legislative session that has to, so the information has to get out at a certain timeline.
Right.
And I thank you for addressing this, and look forward to the upcoming meeting.
Well, we have a good process in state government as far as, this is John LaFeld, in my opinion, as far as not surprising anybody with anything. It's a pretty open process. It's very open, and it gives everybody a lot of time to have clarification and a meeting of minds. And we've done it before, and we throw out something, and we get some response, and we've been able to move with industry well with it. I don't think there's any reason to bother on that issue as far as I can see in my short tenure on the board, but it's been very satisfactory. It certainly worked in the milk industry, and it took us a while, but it worked out. Nothing's perfect, but it's a nice piece of democracy and process as I see it, so that's my opinion. Anything else from the public?
This is Brian Engel, Pioneer Meats. Representative Vinton, I know on a smaller scale, or whatever you want, by or not talking about state government, the American Association of Meat Processors every Wednesday sends out an email with pertinent information to all meat processors or members. And I know at one time, up till probably about a week ago, it went to Gary Hamel's office. Asked Gary Hamel, did you circulate last week's information that the American Association of Meat Processors sent out, or did you cancel that subscription that was free? A lot of times we as plant members give our inspectors initiatives and directives, changes. We get them before they get them, because Gary Hamel is not being proactive in getting this information to his inspectors, and that's what's boiling down to all this.
That's noted by myself as board chairman. Thank you very much for that input. Is there anything else from the public?
This is Representative Noland. We're looking forward to, I'm on the interim committee, and we're looking forward to some of this information coming out at that time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? This is Representative Ricky. Would you clarify for me the place and the time of the meeting?
It's 1:30 at Pays.
Thank you.
I thought it was Billings Livestock.
Yeah, it's Billings Livestock.
Wait a minute. Okay, slow down. Mike, let Mike do it then. I thought it was at Pays.
No, it's at Billings Livestock, but they're close. They're close to each other, so I can understand the confusion.
But it's at 1:00, isn't it, or did you change it?
1:00.
Right.
And you realize this is on this is an animal health issue with the cattle tomorrow.
Yes, I understand that. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else, public?
I think there's one of the issues that's been skirted a lot.
And who is this, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Brian Engel, Pioneer Meats.
Yes, sir.
All this really boils down to, and it's in my letter that everybody received, it's in Chris Young, who represents American Association of Meat Processors, 1,300 members strong across the U.S., connections in Washington, D.C. with FSIS, letter from the Montana Meat Processors. Our concerns are the improper procedures that Gary Hamel keeps coming up with. One thing that hasn't been talked about yet is the appeal of Lower Valley's improper jerky condemn, whatever you want to call it, recall last week. You cannot go back retroactive, change the rules in the middle of the road, and say, oh, gee, I'm sorry, everything that we've approved so far, whether it be your procedures, your labels, the federal people during the audit reviewed this plan, these plans and had no problems with them. And then last week, Gary Hamel comes up with, oh, gee, we need to pull all your jerky off the shelves because it's now wrong. You cannot go back retroactive and change the rules in the middle of the road. Now, you can go from this day forward. We need to make changes.
Could you stop a second? This is John Scully. Could you tell me what happened?
Maybe we should ask Gary Hamel what happened.
No, sir, I'm asking you. You're telling us what happened. What? We will ask Gary Hamel.
Okay,
but what,
thank you.
Jeremy, I wasn't standing
you
in your
please?
Plant. Could you just tell us what took place?
Jeremy Plummer, can you chime in, please?
Yeah, this is Jeremy at Lower Valley. And last week on Thursday, I believe, Tuesday, some compliance people came into our plant a day late of what they were scheduled to show up, and we have been processing and selling jerky for a long amount of time with an approved HACCP plan and an approved label.
Could you just tell us what happened, because we're not holding a hearing on any appeal.
Yes.
Us what happened last week.
Mr. Chairman,
and,
this is Rob Stutz, legal counsel, jumping in. I just wanted to be clear. The board, if this is a contested matter before the department, even if it's not before the board yet, I just want to caution the board that, yeah, it would be inappropriate to hear a contested matter through public comment when it's working up at a lower level of the chain of command.
And also a question to the
here?
Board from Lower Valley. Did you guys, I mean, did you receive our formal appeal? It was sent last Friday to the board and not till Monday to Mr. Honeycutt and transferred to Zalski.
I haven't seen it.
And there's no mention of it today, so I just...
I don't have anything. So, therefore, I withdraw my question.
Yeah.
Very
good.
So I find out what's going on here.
Yeah, I think as far as going any further on any of these issues, I think we've done all we can for public comment. We're going to get off track here and start things that just aren't appropriate and put the board in a bad position, so...
Mr. Chairman, this is Representative Usher. I have a comment. I have a comment that doesn't have anything to do with that. I'm not going to be able to. I'm not going to be able to make August 30th. I already have out of town plans. But I just want to make sure that some of the focus goes on how the public is notified so quickly and immediately when some of these issues may be contested or appealed, and if. And again, this is an if. I'm not trying to jump to conclusions. If anything is found that the department did wrong, there is no realistic way that these businesses who have lost credibility in the public's view because our state government has gone out and dragged them through the newspapers, my concern is the appeal process takes way too long to prevent these businesses, if they're found to be in the right. The reputation is, you know, could be devastating, and it does hurt businesses. That's my concern, my biggest concern, and I know the Governor's Office for Economic Development is on the phone. You know, we as a state government should be here to help and work through processes with our businesses, regardless if it's meat or if it's a retail establishment that has state regulations. We need to have our regulators working with our businesses to have our economy thrive. So my concern is the public and how it gets out in the public so quickly before anything's proven.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Appreciate those comments, and I can assure you the board will be looking into that as closely as we can and starting to pick away. Well, you know, we're picking it up. Now we'll go with it and see where we end up. Anything else from the public?
This is Shane Flowers with Project Meat. I just wanted to clarify as far as the August 30th meeting date, as a processor with an appeal in there, we won't have representation there?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that right, or do we get to represent ourselves?
No, you want, based upon the motion, it will be, one, not a hearing, as Mr. Steps talked about. You can certainly have representation there, but there won't be any testimony given. It'll be done based upon the record.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to clarify and make sure I was on that.
But you're more than welcome to have anybody you want there, but it, there just won't be give and take testimony. It won't be a hearing. It'll be a review of the record and based upon that process.
Mm-hmm. And on the organizational side of what you guys are looking at from the letters and everything you got, are we going to be able to be heard a little better on those issues that we've
attended? Yes.
Sure.
Thank
It'll
you.
Be a normal agenda item.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Mr. Chairman, this is Lila. I just want to make sure we consolidate those issues kind of together. So if people do want to come, that we're not making them sit all day for stuff that maybe they're not as interested in as we are, so that they can get there and get home if they want to.
We should be able to manage that, Lila.
Thank you.
Anything else out there? Mr. Honeycutt.
Yes, sir.
We're on board. We got her.
If the board is satisfied.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate everybody's input and time. We'll get back to this on the 30th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.